I'm joined by Jordan Gold and Richard Pritchard, co-authors of Voila, the Koori Warrior. Book is about the journey of a fantastic hero infused with Koori culture and traditions. Jordan and Richard are joining us on Native Radio today as the third book of the series is released today. Now, Richard and Jordan, thanks for joining us on NITV Radio.
Thanks for having us.
I'll start with maybe a commentary, and I'll ask you to reflect on this, because the book is released today on the 4th of June, which is at the tail end of National Reconciliation Week. In my view, I must say I might be wrong, but finding Indigenous Australian fantasy can be really tough, because many haven't gotten the mainstream recognition that they deserve. Jordan, what's your reflection on this?
In the mainstream media, like the Aboriginal fantasy kind of genre, and just for the fact that me and Richard are able to fill that hole with something that, you know, we were very passionate about, and like as well as others, it definitely gives us like a sense of fulfillment, and it's definitely something that's been needed.
While a story incorporates elements of Koori culture, which are really very beautifully weaved in the story, what inspired you to bring these elements into a fantastical narrative, and what challenges did you face in actually ensuring a respectful representation coming from two different backgrounds, both, you know, Pacifica and First Nations?
Mm-hmm. The thing that kick-started is because I'm from New Zealand, and I'm Samoan. And in my culture and where I grew up in Auckland, it's Samoan culture and Polynesian culture is very celebrated, and it's everywhere. In New Zealand, they sort of represent Australia as it's the same. There's Aboriginal people everywhere. So when New Zealanders come to Australia, that's what we think we're going to see. And it's quite the opposite when we arrive, and quite confronting to us, because the perception is that it's just as multicultural as New Zealanders, but it's not at all. And when I saw that when I first arrived, I thought, this is weird. I wish one day I could do something. And then years later, I saw an Aboriginal young lady in a traditional dancing outfit, and it looked like the same as a Samoan dancing outfit. And I thought, oh, wow, if Aboriginal women have the same dance culture they've got, they might have also the same warrior culture as we have. So my background is in the film industry, and animation, and I thought I could do that. I could create a female warrior hero that no one's ever seen before and change that public narrative, that negative stereotype of Aboriginal people in the mainstream media. So that was the inspiration. And then I approached the elders and they gave me permission. And at the time I was teaching animation at TAFE, and Jordan was my star pupil. And the elders said, oh, why don't you ask Jordan, the young Aboriginal kid in your room, in your class, if he wants to be part of it. And I didn't. He said, yes, and we've been working on Wheeler for 5 years now. And Jordan is the one who named Wheeler. Everything from the Aboriginal side of it, Jordan brings. He names all the characters based on his culture. And we talk about the structure together and the cultural elements. We discuss about how we want to represent Wheeler in each book. And that's how we start.
And in this third installment, Wheeler has come, you know, has reached her peak capacity as a warrior. How did you approach shaping her personality and inner conflicts, Jordan?
We didn't want Wheeler to kind of start out as a Koori warrior. We wanted her to earn it, if that makes sense. We wanted her to work towards it. So that's why at the start we made her like an art teacher, and then like through the journey of the books, she goes through the hardship of like all these different conflicts. As well as like learning the responsibility, like in book three, like she will learn the responsibilities of Koori warrior, but yeah, it is through the journey between being an art teacher to then becoming a Koori warrior, because yeah, she doesn't know how to throw a broomer, she doesn't know how to like throw a spear or use any like weapons, but yeah, it's through this journey is how she learns, and that is like kind of like a like that hero's journey where, you know, like start from some very small, then spend the efforts and the time, and then go through all these different conflicts to become like something greater, which a lot of us can also do. And we want to like kind of highlight that as well. Like you can start from, you know, being nothing to something very significant, something to help people and be like a great role model. And yeah, that's how, that's what we modeled Wheel of, after.
And in the book, you bring in, you know, fantastical creatures like megafauna and totems, which really add a unique flavor to the book and the world. Did you draw inspiration from existing Aboriginal myths and legends, or just did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like every like Dreamtime legend, every megafauna, every pretty much everything in the books, it is inspired by real Australian history, as well as myths and legends, Dreamtime stories, and as well as like traditional customs and traditions. In book one, we had Tiddalik, which is a very well-known Dreamtime story of a frog who drinks all the water, but you got to make him laugh to spew all the water out, which is a fan favorite. And as well as there's the Bunyip, there's the
Yamiyahu.
we have so many to name, but yeah, we want to incorporate all those. Yeah, yeah, there's definitely references of Bunjil, the creator god, and everything that we put in the books is from real Australian myths, legends, stories, very authentic.
And there are also themes of family, destiny, and protecting one's heritage. What message were you hoping to convey to readers through this story?
I think each book has a particular theme that we try to bring across. Book one, the theme was courage. When you're faced with a threat of something and you've trained for it, that's one thing. But when you're not trained for something and you still do it, it's a whole different side to courage. And that was one theme in book one that we wanted to show kids, that sometimes you're thrown into a situation which you're unprepared for, and it takes courage to overcome that thing which you're not prepared for. And in a way, we wanted to prepare kids that would read it to face life in front of them without preparation. A lot of kids around the world go through that trauma, and Wheeler, in a way, goes through trauma. Having her family taken away so fast, beyond preparation, and that was kind of one thing we wanted. And then the next book, book two, was about kindness. Was that even though you might train or you might study, you might have a PhD, or you might be very strong and have the ability to have power over people, power needs to be controlled and it should be tempered with kindness, was the lesson of the second book. With great power, it's not just responsibility, but great kindness should come with it. And there was Weeda's lesson in the second book that we wanted to portray, that she's got the power to treat people the way they should be treated. And then she goes, no, I don't want to do that. I want to treat people the way I want to treat them, not how they treat me. And that's kind of like the definition of kindness, is that you can show kindness to people who are kind to you, but it's really hard to show their kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it. And that's how she becomes the Koori Wari, because she learns that lesson. It's not I'm strong because I just learned how to throw a spear or, whack someone with a club. I'm strong because I can control my power that I've been given. And these are sort of life lessons that we wanted to put in there, Jordan and I we always have a saying together that when we write situations, we have a sort of, what you say, a measurement that we do, which is we don't write anything that we aren't comfortable having a 7-year-old girl be alone in her bedroom reading a book by herself. If we don't feel that she can read that by herself, then we don't write it, because we respect parents, we respect teachers, and we respect the reader of that age to read a safe book that's enjoyable, it's fun and appropriate. So that's the kind of how we approach it. And we write for them. We write for that person. We don't write for ourselves. Like a lot of times authors will say, you write for yourself. I think that's wrong. I think you need to write for your readers, especially with children's books. You got to write for them and be appropriate for them and respect where they are in their lives. She makes it very hard, but also because you got to have boundaries And that's what tempers our whole writing style, is that we make sure it's appropriate.
And this comes out very perfectly, very, very beautifully, because even one of the greatest commentators I could quote over this book is Uncle Robbie Law Sr., who says that when young people read the story of Villa, they'll all have a better understanding of the language and history. Thanks to you, Richard and Jordan. What's your reflection on a statement from such a senior elder?
Definitely a a big like pat on the back from Uncle Robbie Lowe Senior. Like I've known Robbie for like a while, and he's had a big hand on the startup of Wheeler ever since then. Like we've always like kind of like go back and forth with him to just see if he's got any insight. But yeah, like for like an elder like Uncle Robbie Lowe Senior to kind of like recommend Wheeler to, you know, people who's new to the culture, as well as like who those. You know, who is Aboriginal but don't know anything of their own culture, like I was, to recommend that to them out of like all the books out there, it's a definitely big achievement for me. It is such a like a monumental thing for me.
For me, it's like it doesn't matter if Wheeler sells 1 or 1 million books, so long as Uncle Rob and Aboriginal people are happy with the story. That's my level of success. So long as, you know, Uncle Rob loves what we've written and his, you know, the Pickering tribe love what we're doing, then that's success to me.
With Wheeler's adventures coming to a really exciting phase, do you have plans for, you know, other books coming out? And if so, can you just maybe give us some hints of the challenges and the allies that we might encounter in this one and in the next iteration as well?
Like, we are currently in the works of book 4, and we told ourselves that we wanted to probably start getting into conversations with possibly an agent to get Wheeler overseas, as well as possibly like get into maybe like the movie type of stuff. So definitely look at those in the future. Before all those, we currently have a Wheeler trading card game currently on the rise. Like we have some cards in some select stores, but we are going to be looking to release a Kickstarter that's going to be fully released, I think, about on August 31st, I think, along with one of our book launches at the Warrnambool Library. But yeah, we definitely have a long stream of things we want to do with Wheeler. Both me and Richard are quite ambitious of where we want to take Wheeler, and we want to be like as mainstream as possible. So we're going to try to like go through as many avenues as possible to get her out there.
Maybe if Disney and Netflix are listening, they should really be, you know, approaching you, not you approaching them, because there's a lack of First Nations content on this platform. So they should be looking at really featuring such a powerful story as well. I've got the book in front of me. I've just been reading it in the last few days and enjoying it. Got book 1, didn't get book 2, but I've got book 3 in front of me, which is really, really, really fantastic. Before I let you go, just some closing thoughts first, maybe Richard and then you, Jordan.
Wheeler is impacting different segments of society that we never imagined. We've got a huge following of people from India. We're getting fan letters from people from India wanting us to do an Indian translation of it. And I think a lot of Indian boys just love the story. And with the trading cards, there's a whole other group of people Wheeler's reaching out to, gamers, miniature painters, the sort of Dungeons and Dragons crowd, the sort of those who like miniatures. And then you got mothers who want to see it as an animation on the ABC network. So there's a lot of opportunities, but one thing that we want to do is try to create as much leverage that we can, because we want to make sure that we have some control over the animation, in terms of making sure that it's kept authentic to the Aboriginal culture that we're representing, because Wheeler doesn't represent every tribe of Aboriginal tribe in Australia. And we purposely did that because every Aboriginal tribe is individual, has their own language and their own customs. And we didn't want to sort of mix everything up and say, she represents everyone in every culture, you're all the same. We didn't want to do that. We just wanted to make it authentic to one tribe and one language so that people can understand that Aboriginal people don't necessarily identify themselves as Aboriginal because they are a tribe and a nation into themselves. And that's all we want to portray, is that they're all individualistic, own languages, own dialect, and we need to learn more about.
As Richard said, we really want to create as much leverage as we can before we go into like any bigger projects like movies. Like, it is on our to-do list of stuff that we want to do. But yeah, we want to kind of make sure we have that leverage to make sure everything is authentic. Everything, like, we have a say in everything and make sure our word is, the majority, if that makes sense. Yeah, as Richard said, the Pequot tribe is very different to tribes up in, in Brisbane, as well as Darwin and even in Perth and whatnot. The cultures are just so different, and we don't want people like Disney or whatever studio we end up going with to kind of mix them all together and think it's all one culture where it's very different.
The multicultural community, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Richard and Jordan, thank you very much for joining us on MITV Radio today, and congratulations on the new release.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.